New Zealand-based home renovation company, 6,593% ROAS. Sydney-based solar company, 2,700% ROAS. Hunter region-based bathroom renovation company, 5,616% ROAS. Melbourne-based building company, 13,182% return on ad spend. Adelaide-based solar company, 2,881% return on ad spend. Guys, the list goes on and on. If you're a trade-based business and you work with projects like roofing, solar, bathroom renovations, kitchen renovations, anything like that, head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. Book in a conversation. It is game changing. If you've been in business for a while, at no doubt at some point, you've probably made some sort of hiring mistake, or you've made a bad hire, or if you haven't yet, then you're probably likely to. And if you haven't yet and you follow these podcasts and you're great at, I suppose, seeking the right information, then perhaps you will never have this problem. And kudos to you if that is the case, but it certainly was not my experience. But sometimes part of this process is not obvious. And today we're talking about, as part of the creative recruiting series in the third episode here, we're talking about why sometimes hiring for skills can be your downfall. Now, we've probably all heard the metaphor and, you know, the cliche phrase of, well, you know, you hire, don't hire for experience, hire for attitude and that kind of thing. We are kind of talking about that a little bit more in depth today. Of course, guys, there's going to be situations where people do need to have qualifications. That is obvious. But in this episode, we're talking a little bit about some of the things that you can look for specifically in the recruitment stage, which can lead towards making a good hire, which is not entirely based off somebody that has a certain qualification or skill. Very important. I've certainly learned it the hard way myself over the years, and I know many of you guys would be listening or watching this right now would also be in that same boat. So I encourage you guys to really take note here, because what you're going to learn is important, and what you're going to learn is certainly relevant to business of all types. At some point or another, you're going to have to come across this. You can mark my word. Anyway, guys, enjoy this show. I hope you take something out of it, and I look forward to hearing your feedback. Ciao. Today's podcast has been proudly brought to you by Tradie Web Guys. Tradie Web Guys work with tradespeople only on their websites and marketing solutions to help them stand out from their competition. Everything from web design through to SEO, search engine marketing, content creation, you name it, guys. It is a customized solution for trade-based organizations, and it's fantastic. Head across to tradiewebguys.com.au/apply, fill in the form, and let's have a conversation.
Giving tradies and contractors around the globe the tools to run a modern business. You're listening to Toolbox Talks from the Site Shed. Now here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hello listeners and viewers. Welcome back to the SiteShed podcast for part three of the Creative Recruiting Podcast with Ryan Englund from Core Matters. Ryan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Man, this has been such a good series so far. In episode one, and guys, if you didn't check out the previous episodes, if you're just tuning in for part three, do yourselves a favor and go back and listen to part one and then part two. In part one, we were talking about the recruitment attraction model, where we dived pretty granularly into, you know, how to make yourself stand out, well, as a business anyway, within that recruitment process. There were some absolute nuggets dropped in that podcast. And in the last episode, Ryan went into turbocharge and he dived into the seven key areas of the core, what do you call it?
The Core Fit Hiring System.
The Core Fit Hiring System, which is essentially what he teaches in his program. But, oh man, that was ridiculous. So definitely make sure you go and check that one out. In this episode, we're talking about why hiring for skills is killing your business. I suppose this is a topic that many of us have heard in the past. And of course, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek to a degree. Of course, there are certain things which we spoke about, I think, in episode one, that you do have to have qualifications for. Like if you're a builder, you can't say you can't apply for a building job if you're not a builder, kind of thing. But
yeah,
but certainly that whole, you know, and I say it's cliche because we hear it so often, but it's certainly relevant, you know, hiring for attitude, not yeah, experience. I've seen it a lot in established businesses that have started to have made a conscious decision to move forward and go down a certain path, which might be growth. It might be a different like focus on vertical or something like that. And they have team members that are sort of stuck in a certain way, or they might have been around for a long time and done things a certain way for so many years. And when something like this shifts in an organization, they basically get up and leave, or they're removed because even though they've got all this experience, they don't have the attitude.
Yeah. It's important to make sure you hold on to that tribal knowledge, because that's what you're talking about. They come in, they know how to do it better than everyone else. They might be somebody that everybody turns to, but if they're toxic to your business because they don't have that right attitude or that right belief system, it can cause a whole lot of problems. Even more so when they leave, because a lot of times they'll take people with them.
Of course, we're talking in this series about recruiting. So this is sort of before that conversation really kicks in. But I suppose it's all tied pretty closely when you're speaking to, you know, the hiring for the right type of people and having the right type of people in your business. And I guess it kind of ties in as well to in the last episode, you know, when we talk about the creating a recruiting engine and how, you know, you constantly want to have people in your organization wanting to be there and, you know, buying into it and, you know, being part of that tribe, you know?
Well, and a lot of that gets determined in the way you recruit. Just like if you go back to the first episode here where we talked about the attraction model and, you know, being attractive to good people, if you're attracting the wrong kind of people, it's going to mess you up on the back end. If you're fishing for the wrong kind of people, it's going to mess you up on the back end. So a lot of that team building part and keeping people engaged and keeping them productive and all of that happens later on, you know, 1, 2, 3 years down the road, all of that goes back to that moment you decided to hire them.
Right.
And were they the right fit for you?
It's certainly you know, a lot of business owners, all the feedback I get anyway is, That would be great, but I need someone now. You know what we're talking about? It might have been the first episode or the second episode. You know, they leave it till too late. And so they don't have the, I suppose, the luxury, or they don't think they do anyway. Little do they know, regardless if they took their time, it would be at a better hire. But, you know, they think they don't have the luxury of time to put into these things. Oh, okay, well, this guy has got the skills, but he may not, you know, be the right personality, but I don't care because I need someone for this skill right now.
Yeah. So if that's something you find yourself going into, go back to episode 2 and look at the recruiting engine, because we have a saying here that you should always be recruiting.
Yeah.
Always. Should never stop, because you never know when you're going to land that big job and need to hire quickly. You never know when that key person is going to leave. You never know when that one person is going to get sick or have to take care of a family member. Like, you can't plan for those things.
And I think
if you're always recruiting and building a pipeline of potential employees, you can be ready for that.
And that doesn't necessarily mean you always have to be hiring. We know you guys aren't made of
money,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just because you're recruiting does not mean you're hiring.
I know I've definitely worked in, you know, companies before, and we get a lot of clients and, you know, listeners of the show that are really, really, they're always doing that. And they're big believers in it, you know, and to the point where they'll have, you know, they'll go and take people out for lunch and they'll like, just, you know, one of my clients calls it grooming. He's like, I'll just grooming potentials, you know, for the month. It's pretty funny, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. If you go back to marketing, you go back to just customer marketing, when you're thinking about lead gen, you invest all this effort in creating this lead, and the lead may not be ready to buy. So what do? Put them on an email list, and then we drip on them.
Right.
And then we share with them information. When they are ready to buy, they raise their hand and we're ready for them. Recruiting is the exact same thing. So one of the things you need to understand is that there's a list out there of life's most stressful events. Mm-hmm. We've all seen it, like death of a loved one, divorce, relocation. Did you know that finding a new job makes that list every single year?
Right.
It's one of life's most stressful events. So if somebody's not ready today, it's because the pain of staying the same is not greater than the pain of change, right? So when the pain of staying where they're at is so great that they're willing to make the change, that has now become number one on their most stressful list, then they'll change. So if you're always recruiting, you're always putting people into this pipeline and creating a bench of good applicants, when you're in that desperate mode where you're like, I got to hire tomorrow, instead of going to the market and hoping someone's ready, you go to your bench and say, who's up?
It's interesting, isn't it? That, like, I suppose the magic there becomes in, and like tying back to the episode previously, where we're talking about, you know, that engine, having that process sort of ironed out, like making that transition from what would potentially be somebody's most stressful thing they'll ever do, you know, that year, to becoming one of the most seamless and simple things that you could make for them. Like, that's a real defining point.
And when you're creating that recruiting engine, you can incorporate that process in.
Is that something you'd apply to the recruiting message? You know, like, could you incorporate that at some level into that conversation? You know, this is how we make it easy for our new employees. We put them through this training. We put them through this. This is what your first week looks
like.
Yeah,
so we teach a process called the bench.
Right.
And it's a sports metaphor, obviously. But, you know, if you've got 5 people on a sports team, there's usually 20 people on the bench, right? Because you never know when one of your star players is going to get hurt or have to leave or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the same idea here. And so we actually create an emailing and texting campaign around, look what you're missing out on. It's like one of the easiest things to do when you create a bench. If you ever have a company party, you know, like the holidays are coming up, you have a holiday party, shoot an email to your bench showing everybody have an amazing time. Because I promise you, there are people on your bench that their employer didn't do that. Right. And their spouse is going to look at them and go, hey, why don't you work there? They look like they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's one of the easiest ways to get good people. But if we go back to the hiring for skills, I mean, I think the easy answer is go listen to the first 2 episodes. Help you understand that more. But there's so much more to it. Most business owners that I see, they know how to do their craft. They know how to do what they do. If you're a plumber and you own a plumbing company, you know how to do plumbing work. You can teach that. What you can't teach is someone to set their alarm clock, get to the job site on time. You cannot teach that. If someone doesn't have what I call give a damn, it's so hard to teach that.
Yeah.
And so that's why when you start hiring for skills instead of hiring for behaviors or hiring for fit, you're going to get someone that can turn a wrench. They're not going to care about what your customer thinks. They're probably not going to care about safety. They're not going to care about your processes. They're not going to care about your profitability because it's just a job to them.
As long as
they get a paycheck, they'll be happy.
And I guess that really ties into episode 1 when we're talking about that attraction model, you know, attracting people that, you know, and finding out what motivates them. And if there's nothing that motivates them, then don't make the hire.
Yeah. Absolutely. So back to when I was talking about that book Unmasked, we talk about those processes. So one of the things that I see a lot of people want is they just want someone that pays attention to detail. If you're sweating pipe, there's a certain way you have to do it in order to make sure that pipe's not going to leak later. And if you're the guy that's just going through really fast, or you got someone on your team who's just going through really fast, they really don't care, or maybe they're wasting product like crazy. Now, all of a sudden, it's hurting your profits. It's hurting your business. How do you test for that early on? And that's what we talk about in Recruiting Engine, is how do you test for that during the interview process? But if you've got these people that don't care, they don't feel like they fit, they don't feel like they belong, I mean, it can create a lot of tension inside the organization.
What are some of the things that we do need to hire for instead of skills? And obvious, there's the obvious ones, but let's talk about some of the less obvious ones maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I say everything should be values driven. I mean, that goes back to episode 1. You should be making decisions based around your values.
Your values or their values?
Hiring for that. They should align.
Right.
Your values should be aligned. Now, they don't have to line up perfectly. You know, if you've got 3 or 4 core values for your company and they've got 3 or 4 core values personally, and everybody has core values. They may not use that word, but they have things that are important to them.
And it's probably important not to use those words when you're trying to get that information out of them, or they'll just tell you what you want to hear anyway, right?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things we talk about in the book, is you sit down and the business owner's like, let me tell you about why I'm so awesome, right? Why you want to work here. And then you start asking questions. And what do? They just tell you what you just told them about how awesome it is to work there. Right. And you're like, you're hired. But that's what happens. Employers do all the time. You give them the answers to the test. Then they ace the test. And you're like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. Then you send them out in the workforce. And you're like, who are you? I don't remember hiring you. But so definitely looking for values alignment. But I think there's those other things too that you can't teach. Like I said, I call it give a damn, like getting to the job site on time, keeping the job site safe and clean, taking care of customers. Like I remember we had a client a while back. They had a technician that was in the field working in residences. Loved the work. Felt put out every single time a customer had a question. So we'd snap at the customers. Guy was impeccable at work. But we started losing customers left and right. We started getting bad reviews left and right because the guy was like, I don't want to talk to people. I just want to do the work.
That is often a hard thing to teach, isn't it? I mean, you can learn a lot of things, but you know, people that just don't like people.
Yeah.
They should be stuck in an office or they should be stuck in the workshop.
Absolutely. Yeah. Put them on the fabricating line. And they don't have to deal with it. They just deal with machines. But if they're good with their hands and they're good at their craft, how do you not want to hire them?
No, that's exactly what I mean. It ties, I suppose, into a conversation I had, recently with putting people in the right positions, and you may not, in my experience, you may not know that. You might hire someone for a position. And then as you, like we've discussed, don't tell me, show me. Once you sort of understand what they're, and people's interests change and their passions change and, you've got to be willing, like in Good to Great, it talks about how they were, moving somebody from, like certain positions in the business into other positions where they can excel, which you don't really, you have no way of understanding until the wheels are in motion,
And that's why I love the behavioral assessments. Yeah. So between ProScan and Colby, we're able to get a really clear picture of what motivates and what drives these people and how they behave. And we can learn more in them taking 20 minutes worth of assessments than we'll learn in 100 hours of working together.
Right.
And so that allows us to do that. But when we go back to our process, just to echo what you just said, our interview process is built so that we interview for cultural fit first.
Right.
Skills fit's the last thing we talk about. Can you do the job? Because if you're an amazing person, an amazing employee, and you're going to be amazing on my team, I'm going to find a position for you. If I have to teach you to turn a wrench, I will teach you to turn a wrench because I don't want to lose you. But if we start looking at skills first and we forget the rest of the stuff, we might find someone we fall in love with because they can turn the wrench well. But now when it comes to the cultural fit, we ignore it because we don't want to get disappointed. We found someone that's going to be amazing at doing the work, but we don't want to find out if they're going to be good at being here or not. We'll deal with that later. And then we end up with a bad hire.
In my experience with the conversations I have, that's probably the biggest hiccup that trade businesses make. They're constantly hiring for the skills instead of the right people. To be honest with you, I don't think I've ever once been through a proper interview process with a trade business ever.
Yeah, no.
They don't do it. And is it their fault? Yes, but are they to blame? No. I mean, they've just never learned it, That's why it's so important.
No one's ever taught them.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like I said a couple episodes ago about the resumes, right? The resumes are either written by people that don't know how to write resumes or they're written by professional resume writers. They don't teach how to write a resume. Like you have to Google it and research it and figure out, and everybody's got an opinion. So what do I tell employers? Scrap the resume. Ask them questions that will give you the information you want on the resume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because you can't trust that stuff. So that's why when you're hiring for skills, not only is it causing you to hire bad people or to increase your turnover, which turnover we all know is very, very expensive, but when people leave, they either take your customers or your employees with them, and that you have to be really careful of. Because if they're creating toxicity inside the workplace, just because they leave doesn't mean that toxic environment goes away. You got a lot of cleanup work to do.
I think that's one thing that people the people neglect. It ties into what you were saying earlier, that phrase, oh, what if I train them and they leave, and then, oh, what if you don't train them and they stay, whatever. Like, I think people have a true misunderstanding of like how expensive it is, both financially and from like a resource, perspective, how much weight that is on a company to make a bad hire. Although it looks like on the surface, like superficially, all the stuff we've been talking about in these episodes looks like a shitload of work. And to be fair, it is a lot of work. But in hindsight, it's a fraction of resource and cost as to what it is to make a bad hire, or, you know, hire someone that turns around and leaves.
And we do a process where we take clients through, and we do some training on this too, is what is the cost of a bad hire? And I'll never forget, I remember I was talking to someone who does short-term rental cleanings. So, you know, the Airbnbs and whatnot, they come in and they clean just like they would at a hotel. And so a lot of housekeeping. And I asked him, I said, so what's the cost of bad hire? She goes, $130. So $130, she goes, well, that's what I usually spend in Indeed ads to get that hire, is $130. And he said, well, what about the customer satisfaction issue? Like, you got to deal with the customer now. Oh, I didn't include that. Well, what about the ones that you fired because they were stealing or damaging property? Well, I didn't include that. Well, what about the people they took with them because they became friends with them before they leave? Well, I didn't include that. What about all the training, the onboarding costs, you having to go out and start this process over again, you not being able to focus on the work that only you should be doing? She's like, well, I didn't include that. We finished. It was like $30,000 if they left in the first 90 days. It was insane.
Right.
But because she didn't write the check for more than $130, she didn't think it was costing her any money.
So again, it's kind of, you know, point the finger or whatever, but it's ignorance. It's like not understanding and not, you know, not being taught, or not ever stepping out to learn how to do those things, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, and I don't blame the business owners because they weren't ever taught this stuff. I mean, the only time that you can really blame them is if they learn about it and then choose not to do it.
Yeah.
That's when you get to blame them. But other than that, they don't teach this stuff in school. They don't teach entrepreneurship in school. So we've all figured this out, the school of hard knocks. But this is that one area that I think everybody just shies away from because it's so compliance-driven. Or you've got recruiters and staffing agencies doing it for you, which – they don't want to solve the problem because then they'd be out of business.
Yeah, they just want to clip a ticket.
Yeah. So that's why it's a real challenge, and there's not a lot of training or education out here around this stuff.
Yeah, I love it. Well, cool. I mean, is there anything else you wanted to cover off on in this episode?
No, I think if you go back to the other two, that'll really build the foundation for why hiring is killing your business. And then just understanding, what is the real cost of turnover? What's it really cost you to hire somebody? So I read a study, it's across all industries, $4,100 is the average cost for someone to hire and onboard an employee for frontline employees. I mean, when you get up into senior management, if you're looking for an ops manager or something, I mean, it's multiples of their salary.
Sure.
But if you're just looking for a plumber, the minimum is $4,100 for one. So just understand that there's a real hit to your bottom line here, whether you can see it or not.
Yeah. And I think, like, just, I mean, in summary, you know, for this episode specifically, that whole cultural fit within a company, and, you know, communicating that and hiring people that are going to fit part, you know, be part of that culture or add to the culture, I should say. You know, it just makes such a refreshing difference when you haven't got to have those awkward conversations with somebody, you know, based on the fact that they're just not culturally fit for, you know, your company. It's just such a draining conversation, you know, and it's like mentally draining and it's time consuming and sometimes you're just flogging a dead horse.
Yeah, definitely break the cycle of hire fast, fire slow.
Yeah.
The extra set of hands is not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it.
Mate, this has been great. So for you listeners and viewers out there, if you just tuned in for this episode, like we said, go back and check out part one and two. This is the Creative Recruiting series. And I've got Ryan England from Core Matters, which is thecorematters.com. And once again, head across there and get hold of his book, which is available as a PDF download for the grand price of zero. Of course, you can get it on Amazon as well if you like. I'll put a link to the Amazon link in the show notes as well for you guys that want to do that. Ryan, thank you so much for your time. This has been such a great, awesome series. I've been loving it.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Very relevant to where I'm at in business. Oh, I mean, to be honest, I think this is very relevant to anyone that's in business. You know, like at some point they're gonna want to go back and listen to this podcast series. I can guarantee.
Yeah.
Look, if I had to listen to this maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been that interested. But now I'm like, this is what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah. Took me a while to figure that one out too. So
thanks very much for your time. Guys, if you've got any questions or if you've got any experience with this stuff that we've spoken about, again, hit us up in the Facebook group. you know, you can be part of the conversation over there. Otherwise, we look forward to, you know, speaking to you guys again and teaching you about some other subjects which relate to you growing your trade business. So thanks very much, Ryan, for joining us. And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to another episode of Toolbox Talks. If you're liking what you hear, then you can head across to the siteshed.com where you can join our community by signing up to our Toolbox Talks. You'll get sent a weekly notification, which is basically a highlight of everything that we've spoken about during that week, along with any other industry news that may be relevant or specific to the trades. If you're enjoying the show, you can head across to iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, where you can leave us a review. That would be fantastic, and all the reviews get read out in the show. Likewise, if you have any friends or colleagues that you think would benefit from the show and the episodes that we create, then please go ahead and share it with them. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Please, if you did, head across to iTunes and leave us a review. We would very much appreciate that. Anyway, if you are a project-based trade business and you work in solar or bathroom renovations or kitchen renovations or roofing or something along those lines, and you would like to see some of the results that we've been showcasing in our marketing on for your business, thousands of percent return on ad spend, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, 13,000% return on ad spend, please head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. That's tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. It will be well worth the conversation, and I can't wait to chat with you. Ciao.